Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Hey, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Thursday, September 29th, 2011. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and we are definitely live. Please forgive me, but I have a sore throat, and I'm trying my best to work through it. So if I squeak a little bit, it's just me trying to keep it real. Anyway, today's show is titled Relationship Paradox, Social Media and Relationships. And our guest for today's show is Dr. Lisa English. Dr. Lisa English, also known as Dr. Lisa, she is no stranger to the Coco Express Show. She is a mental health professional with a PhD in social work and has built her practice for to target issues that confront many of the challenges that plague our society. Mm-hmm. As you know, social media is what we're doing right now. I'm broadcasting live. If you have any questions or comments, please, the number is 347-637-2319, and please press 1. If you don't press 1, I can't see you. You know, there is a lot to be said about dating today. You introduce yourself, or your reintroduction to a potential mate has taken on a new dimension. We connect via social media in various forms. We have MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, text, AIM, Flickr, Skype, and email. The traditional methods of connecting with a potential mate is over. You can forget that. It's not the same anymore. However, during the show, we will ask, is that such a good thing? I mean, having access to all those various forms of communication can make an existing relationship a bit complicated as well. And are there any codes of conduct in this techno-savvy age? I don't know. That's why we have a doctor. And that's why we're going to ask Dr. Lisa to come on board and explain, because I need to know. I hope you do too.
Express family, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I am so glad to have you back.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, this whole social media and dating, I think it's not such a great thing, but that's just my personal opinion. I think it's just too much information, and it allows too many opportunities for, how could you say, diversions, and less personal interaction. What say you?
Well, you know, social media has certainly taken on, or have given us an opportunity to take on life in a global way, and so there's a great deal of benefits to the social media era that we're living in today. The unfortunate thing is that people suffer often from various forms of mental illness on the continuum, and obsessions and compulsions that social media allows them to act out in a way that they normally can't act out if they're in public. And so yes, it does promote more isolation. It does sort of cloud, intimacy, what I call, intimate intimacy, internet intimacy versus personal intimacy. Mm-hmm. People have developed strong relationships via social media, and they're not necessarily strong physical relationships. They're strong social media relationships in that people are conversing often to each other, they're texting, they're sending each other emails, like you said, and they're somehow corresponding with each other, and it's certainly all sorts of things are said that sort of makes people feel good and feel a part of inclusion and that kind of thing, or somewhat loved, or the attention that they don't normally get in the public setting. So yes, it certainly has its deficits in that way, and it's not so much the social media, it's the fact the way people use it that has created a lot of dangers, if you will, in terms of how people, first of all, continue to isolate themselves from society, and how people interact with each other socially around relationships. I think people don't even know how to introduce themselves to one another anymore. How do you go up to a young man, a young woman, and say, you know, hello, I'm interested? What does that look like? The first thing someone does is hit me on Facebook. that is sort of like the new how are you? So yes, it has certainly in a lot of ways hurt what I call the socialization process, which is so needed as we go through our various stages of development from the, you know, from the beginning to the end. So yeah, I think that we must be careful, and there needs to be a lot more awareness around how to use social media.
So you're saying it gives us a sense of false intimacy.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's a false sense of intimacy created when you establish relationships. People say all sorts of sweet things and leave little smiley faces at the end of their emails and their texts. And oftentimes when you're socializing in person, people won't smile at you. That's not something you do often when you're on the subway or walking down the street. People don't just look at you and start smiling. In fact, if someone does that, you almost feel like why are they looking at me like that? Is this the crazy person? But when that smiley face is on an email, it somehow, you know, makes you feel better. It sort of lessens the stress of it. It sort of makes it feel good. So there's it's easy to overestimate the level of intimacy in the social media era. People are certainly using that as a way to form relationships, and in some cases what they think is lasting relationships. And you can have multiple relationships, unlike you know, in the physical form, when you know you're working with 24 hours, if you're working or you have, you know, your daily activities, it may be difficult to fit 5 or 10 people that you have some interest in that day. But clearly, through social media, you can fit all 10 of them in. Or you do have to hit, you know, in 10 minutes, you can say good morning to 10 people with a smiley face, and everyone's feeling really good about themselves. So it's definitely an overestimate. We definitely overestimate the level of intimacy involved in social media.
Now, you talked about the mental illness aspect of it, depression and jealousy. I mean, when you look at somebody, for instance, somebody's Facebook page, and you see that they have all these wonderful activities going on in their lives, that could also create a sense of depression within yourself, because you're sitting in a computer screen and you're looking at somebody else who's got this wonderful life, and you're not going anywhere because you're sitting at the computer. And then it also promotes jealousy, and then you have the jealousy and depression. I'm not doing anything. They're having a wonderful life. And you kind of like try to connect with them vicariously, so to speak. And that, I believe, enhances the whole mental wellness issue. Because you're not outside, you're not socializing, you're in a box, and technically the computer is a box. And how does that help us going forward?
Well, you know, clearly, the internet is the television of the 21st century. So, you know, just like we see TV, and we have all this admiration for people who we see on TV, and it's seemingly their lives are just so wonderful and amazing and terrific, and if we can only be them for a day. That has been sort of the rule of thumb with all sorts of media outlets. And so whether it's magazines, when you're standing in a grocery line and you look at the cover of a magazine and someone is, you know, a size 2 and you've been trying to lose that last 10 pounds for 10 years and you just can't understand why. These things have been going on for a long time. The interesting thing now is ordinary people, what we would consider ordinary people. They're able to post. People often post the happy side of their life, right? So, you know, no one's going to post, you know, I contracted VD today, or, you know, my husband walked out on me, or, you know, I got stood up, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're going to post what they think is the happy side of their life. Unfortunately, those of us who are emotionally bankrupt and deficient in many ways, emotionally, socially, and mentally, that kind of thing, particularly when you spend too much time surfing the net, and there certainly was an interesting study about this, people who spend a lot of time on social media sites and observing the life of their, what they call their friends, and see the happy side of their life has been attributing to depression. So that's a difficult thing to do to challenge, because people are doing that in isolation. That's the danger of social media. You can do it alone. You don't need any help. You don't need anybody to push you into it. You don't need any money. You know, for the most part, you just get on and you start looking. And you know, when you have these kinds of emotional deficits, the last thing you need to be doing is looking at things that you think are going to make you depressed. It's like, you know, you're on a diet and you walk into a bakery. Well, that's not the first place you should be, you know, going in terms of, you know, looking for the right things to eat. You should be going to more fruits and vegetables. That, you know, they need to find themselves away from the computer, try to find, and there's help for people like that. There's support groups and that kind of thing where you can really start to wean yourself away from the addiction of social media, because it is an addiction when you think about the fact that people are now, like, pornography. They can't even make money from the DVDs and all sorts of other places where you can find porn, because it's so freely available on the internet. People are surfing all the time. So I think that it's important for people to step away from, you know, that kind of day-to-day activity, because then it also breeds what you mentioned, which was envy. You start to develop these jealous feelings towards friends, what you consider ordinary people who are having this extraordinary life. And all of this you have created in your mind based on a couple of pictures and a few posts, which is certainly a snapshot into a person's life on a day-to-day basis. I can't imagine a couple of posts and a few pictures really painting a full picture of someone's life just the way when we watch 10 episodes of Basketball Wives or whatever it is. I should, you know, hope that that's not what the scope of their life when people have 5 and 6 children and they have things, you know, it just can't be that's their full life. So people are dealing with Down syndrome children and all sorts of things that are going on. You think about the Braxtons. Yeah, we see the beauty part, but she's also dealing with a child who has autism. And you're not necessarily seeing the day-to-day struggles that goes on when you're dealing with an autistic child. So, you know, we don't understand all that, and I think people just they compartmentalize, and they just want to go with what they think is the happy side, and because their life is so bankrupt, they don't feel good about themselves once they look at stuff like that.
Now, the more dangerous aspect of it is the cyber stalking. I think that, I mean, stalking, period, is dangerous in any form, whether it be in person or on the internet. However, I saw an article where a woman's boyfriend went onto her Facebook account and cyberstalked all of these people because he wanted them out of her life. And I found that really amazing how the same things you can do in person, you now have the ability to do it to more people via social media.
Yeah, that's a huge one, and it's a real one. It's very serious. Cyberstalking, like any stalking, is extremely dangerous. Again, when I talked about, I think we mentioned earlier, about mental illness and these obsessive compulsive behaviors that people have, which they can in some cases keep under wraps, if you will, or control when you're in an environment or in a society where there's consequences and rules and you know, procedures and all those kinds of things. But when you're sitting behind a computer surfing the internet, yes, you can almost murder someone literally and without ever lifting a finger to touch them. And in some cases, because of a lot of the laws around freedom of speech, you can even say very slandering things about people on the internet, and there's no real consequences for that. There was a study recently where lawyers were interviewed to find out what they seeing in terms of trends and patterns related to divorces, and they said they've seen an 80% increase in divorces related to things that have been on social media, and that husbands and wives have been using the social media sites to sort of establish in their mind various relationships that they think their spouse is having with people, figure out ways to end those relationships, figure out ways to slander the boyfriend, girlfriend, lover, spouse, whatever, so that those other people would have no interest in them. They get very angry when someone maybe reaches out to that person and says hello, because Facebook is such a – we're talking about Facebook. Facebook is very public media now, and so anybody can see what someone's posting and so forth and so on. So and believe you and me, you know, spouses and boyfriends will see a post like, I hope you're having a wonderful day, and that all of a sudden becomes that you and this guy are sleeping together. So, yes, it is dangerous, and not only is it dangerous for those relationships that are already established where people are already have a jealous tendency or other types of compulsions and obsessive behavior, but for those who you don't know, where, you know, there's no history, no relationship, and the person is always on the page and always sending the person emails and texts and trying to engage them. That's another form of stalking. And you know, if you post in the sense of people who are more public figures, oftentimes they post where they're going to be, and you'll find that the same person is showing up every place you attend. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be quite scary.
Yeah.
Tyra Banks had a situation where this guy followed her everywhere, I think, and all they can give him was 3 months,
mm-hmm.
You know, for stalking her. And mm-hmm. he was showing up at the show and at the set and every place and at dinner and at lunch. I mean, he was a madman. And all they could do was give him three months. It is a serious problem, and it is something that I believe, you know, our legislators are continuing to look at, even in this age of, I think it was Congress is looking at Facebook in general now in terms of how much information are they even looking at in terms of the people that are on their sites and what kinds of sites their members are, you know, visiting and that kind of thing. So it's a very dangerous medium, but people have to be careful.
Yes. Now,
how much personal information they put on there.
So, you know, you've addressed the cyber cheating. And the other big misnomer, we can call it, is miscommunication. I believe that social media, and I'm going to quote from Hill Harper's The Conversation. He goes, the same technology that helps us communicate can also hurt the quality of that communication, especially in romantic relationships. Now, in romantic relationships, miscommunication happens face-to-face. Now, when you put a wall up is what I believe social media is. It's a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that that enables the miscommunication to roll into a huge ball just rolling down a hill as opposed to a little rock that sits still?
Well, yeah, they say it's actually, I think Hill is right. It's almost in the reverse in terms of how we are unable to have, like, effective communication among our interpersonal relationships or personal relationships. They say it's even worse over the internet, that things can be, like you said, misconstrued or misinterpreted or taken out of context, that your voice that comes over in an email message almost sounds flat in a sense because there's no voice, right? It's words. And so people, oftentimes you didn't necessarily mean something the way that it came across. in an email or in a text. So they're suggesting that people certainly move away from that level of communication and start to build up a more effective communication strategy between two people using words and talking and reaching out and socializing with one another. Because clearly now, by just exchanging words over the internet or on Facebook or Twitter, certainly is not the best way to improve the quality of relationships among people.
And you miss the the facial gestures, the intonation, absolutely. All the things that have made communication such a wonderful thing is completely erased now. And I believe that people are given the opportunity to say things that they would never say to you face to face. And I think that is one of the probably most detrimental parts of social media in regards to relationships.
Yeah, it's much easier to injure, friendships online than in person, they're saying, because it creates misunderstanding electronically. And so people have to figure out a way to engage one-on-one.
And the other thing is, do you know who you're dealing with? You really don't know who you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And as you said earlier, we put up a snippet of our day-to-day lives, and you see all of this wonderful activity going on. And if you establish a relationship with this particular person, it's like the other social media dating sites that they have. You connect with someone online, and I believe you communicate safely until you decide to take it offline, and then you meet with that person. And their persona online can be something completely different than what you get when you see them. And they may not be the person that you were communicating with online at all.
Yeah, no, that's a huge one because, one in five relationships are established online. Love, romantic relationships. Intimate relationship, if you will. And so you're right, what you're getting online, again, is, a lot of LOLs and, lots of smiley faces and can't wait to see you and that kind of thing. Such a snapshot, such a brief and a bullet, if you will, of someone's life, their persona, their personality type, how they smell, touch, taste. I mean, just the five senses that we should be working with on a daily basis. We certainly can't get that through the internet. And so there's definitely a problem there. But clearly we don't want to sound like the Stone Ages either. I mean,
no.
People are using various web-based social media and dating sites in order to establish relationships for whatever reason, because of their inability to meet people. They somewhat have what I call emotional invisibility already, and so they're trying to boost their self-confidence and self-esteem through these sites. But again, and some people have successful relationships online. I see clients where they have what is seemingly okay relationship. On the other hand, you must be very careful. I mean, just like when you meet people in person, you just don't know them from that first meeting. It takes time to get to know people, to know, their strengths, their weaknesses, things that are deal breakers for you, so forth and so on. And they're certainly not going to put the deal breakers on the dating site.
Yes. And the competition is so thick when you're on those sites looking for a potential partner. And it's no different than being outside. I think that here you have an opportunity. It's like you're looking at 1,000 as opposed to only seeing 5 in real life.
Well, you actually see that same 1,000 in real life. You just only pay attention to 5. You're actually seeing more people when you go outside, but most of them, because you see them physically and you see what you don't like, and mm-hmm. and so see the reality is that people have their preference. So everybody else is invisible to you when they don't meet your preference. Okay, so yeah, you see the same 1,000 people, but the 5 that would be your preference is probably far and few between. But when you're on a social media site, you're going to build your bionic man. right? And so you're going to build him, and he's going to look like this, and he's going to have this kind of money, and he's going to be childless or only have two, one divorce, maybe not 50, no, maybe not 50, 35, I'm looking for someone younger. I mean, you know, you can build him into, and then once you build him, then those six people come up. And so, you know, that can go on, you know, repeatedly, and yeah, it seems like you have all of these options, and it's so competitive. But it's not, because once you sift through the rubbish, you will find that it's the same level. You will see the same two that you were trying to find. It would probably be the same two that you would see in the grocery store, because, you know, he didn't tell you he had mounting debt, and he's actually in the middle of a divorce, and the he's paying a mortgage over here and not paying it there, and, you know, all of those things that come up in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see that online. You see what I mean? And so,
mm-hmm.
But in person, you meet that person for the first time, and they say something to turn you off. They sort of go right into the invisible category. So yeah, they are part of the thousand. You're just not interested in them.
Okay. And is there? I'm going to ask you. Do you believe that there's an element for high drama when you're dealing with the internet things and all the different social media sites?
Okay, say that one again.
Is there an element for high drama?
High drama. Okay, that one, when you say high drama, you mean like, are you saying like, you know, for things to get crazy or a little...
We're doing the crazy side, then we're going to go over to the positive. We're going to go to the positive.
Well,
of it right
because
now.
When I think about drama, the first thing comes to, you know, I like movies that are drama. And so for me, they're suspenseful. They have like this level of edginess to them. So if that's the context that you mean, you know, in terms of drama, or when you say no more drama, Mary J. Blige song, some people don't want no more drama. I don't know exactly what the context of the question, but I could say internet dating would be the same as dating in person. Whatever could happen will happen, and whatever shouldn't happen wouldn't happen, and whatever you allow to happen will happen. It is what it is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
People are human beings. They're not bionic man. They are the same people. They just have a page up with a picture. Right? And so they're the same people, and they have a lot, the same issues going on that they would have if you've seen them, you know, if you met them at the local grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just help me, give me a little more clarity. If
okay,
that's what
as far as drama is concerned, for instance, and I hope my daughter's not upset with me, but I'm going to take a page from her little life, and say that she's dating this young man, and some girl likes him. She is, you know, and the two of them communicate via Facebook, and they, you know, say little things to each other. But the girl that's on his friends list gets upset because she likes him.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, you know, saying, I'm tired of seeing all of these things. I'm going to be, you know, defriend you or whatever they do with it,
mm-hmm.
and everything. So, that kind of drama,
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Well, it goes back to what we were saying earlier. Yeah, it opens you up for all the people who wouldn't be as daring and possibly as bold. To go and make comments to other people that they think you may or may not be having a relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up the possibilities of people thinking you have relationships with people that you may not be having relationships with. So, yeah, I think that it does. It certainly opens up the playing field for people to draw various conclusions and bring you a lot of unnecessary drama. Now, if that sort of sums it up.
Yes.
Yeah, because that is just it's opportunity, and people are, for the most part, people are not, you know, they're not, you know, people are really, for the most part, they're not that bold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So most people wouldn't necessarily, they'll think a lot of things and say a lot of things, but would never act on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, most people are not that bold or either, and they understand consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you approach me in any kind of way, you know that's possibly an assault charge and you can go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
But I can certainly do things to you behind social media that's more brazen.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm in a relationship and I think there's something going on, I can certainly bring that person a lot of unnecessary drama. And what happens is when you see that someone's aggravating you, anything that causes you aggravation, frustration, taking up too much time, doesn't necessarily have any quality or substance to it, you want to get rid of it really quickly because you just don't need that drama in your life. And so people sort of show themselves in when they're dealing with social media relatively quickly because they're constantly, because people like people, they want to see what they're doing, so they're snooping. People are very curious by nature, right? And so social media allows them to act on that curiosity where we normally wouldn't, you know, sneak behind a boyfriend's job because we should be working someplace ourselves or, have something else that we're doing.
Yes.
But, you know, now you can almost sneak by his job. You just go by, you know, his Facebook and see, you know, who's hit, you know, I was going to say who's hitting him up, as the young people would say. Who's actually, you know, saying hello to him and giving him a shout out. And then you go to her page and see what she actually looks like. And, you know, then visit, you know, all kinds of silly and strange things go on, and you're really, you know, in a dark, seedy side of our mind. And it's and we do have a dark, seedy side of our mind, but thanks to law and order. Thanks to law and order. And I don't mean the show. I mean, you know, really the way that, you know, the early philosophers and Western civilization laid out law and order, and I'm going all the way back to Socrates and Plato, it's clear that if you didn't have law and order, and, you know, Socrates said it and Plato said it best, if you don't have law and order, people will run amok.
Yeah.
They really will. And so the fact is, you know, social media allows people to run amok without consequences. But the good thing is you can see some of that behavior manifest itself, in some cases quite early, before you get too deep. With someone, and maybe it's a good thing because then you can get rid of them. Because it might be a sign that they are a bit too controlling, overbearing, lack confidence, jealous, things that you then find out 5 years in a relationship and two children later.
Right? Yes. Now, on a good note, I believe that, because there's two sides to everything, I believe that social media has a great benefit to some relationships, because you have people that work extensive hours or travel a great deal, or you have people who are in relationships and they're in two different locations. I think something like Skype and Flickr and Twitter and texting and Facebook are all wonderful ways to keep that relationship alive and to maintain that communication and intimacy through those various forms. Sending a text message in the morning, you know, I miss you and can't wait till you come home. Or going on the Skype and having face-to-face communication. I think that's also a beautiful way to maintain the balance of a relationship if there is some distance involved. Those are the great things that I think, and the benefits of the invention of social media.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are two sides to every coin. However, you always have, you know, the side where people just take everything to the extreme. However, what codes of conduct would you kind of lay out for people who are in relationships and also dealing in today's society, which includes social media?
Well, it's just, you know, I certainly agree with you that there's so many benefits to social media. And for many of us, you know, it's about networking. It's about the connection to people who we wouldn't ordinarily be connected to, the opportunity to continue to have and establish quality relationships with our family members and friends that may be all around the world. It certainly saves a lot of money now in the age of, you know, with the ability to send someone a text or an email. And so it's a bit more cost effective to do that. And it certainly opens up, you know, a world of opportunity. I mean, I know with myself, I mean, I get people who send me emails or inbox me on Facebook, if you will, or whatever, from around the country. And it's a beautiful thing when you hear that someone's heard you somewhere or they want to connect to you. No, you can't connect to everybody. But in a lot of ways, I do respond to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that response, as little as it may be, made their day, whether they ask me about a boyfriend or a relationship or a job or whatever. They would probably never get an opportunity to come to New York to see me. But if they've seen me in Little Rock, Arkansas, and they had a question, right, they can
mm-hmm.
email me instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll get back to them. And we have, you know, a bit of an exchange. So it is a good thing in that way. But some of the things that I would say to, you know, like you said, social media etiquette,
mm-hmm.
right? So you're transferring information efficiently, right? And you're careful around emotionally sensitive stuff and those kinds of things. If you're in a relationship, you know, I don't necessarily recommend, and there's, again, people argue this on both ends of the spectrum. I don't necessarily believe that you should be opening up, you know, you need to give your husband or your wife your passwords to your phone and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, you know, trust is trust. And before
mm-hmm.
social media, you know, I'm not interested in my husband's, you know, email account or any of the other things, because trust is trust. And if I don't trust them normally, why go snooping for stuff that's just going to make – that just meant I don't trust them anyway. So
mm-hmm.
why should I have it? Don't say anything on email you yourself feel uncomfortable saying to someone in person. So, you know, just don't say anything that you think, you know, makes you feel awkward if you had to do it in person. It's just not an appropriate thing to do. You should balance your time when you're on the internet and find time to spend with real people,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, family, friends. And it's interesting how people have these wonderful relationships with people they don't know, but the personal relationships they have with lovers and spouse and boyfriends is just completely bankrupt. So
mm-hmm.
you need to figure out a way to engage these people the same way you've been able to establish these relationships online or through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And know that relationships are affected by online communication. So, you know, I mean, unfortunately, we've seen our senator lose his job over
mm-hmm.
sending a photo of himself. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he really was into his photo. You could see he was posing. It was clear. You know, had these things not been available, this is a guy, you know, he's no dummy by no stretch of imagination. This is a man who has, you know, given his, you know, quite a bit of his life to politics. It would be, you know, for him to do that, I guess in his mind it didn't really mean much, but it cost him in the end. So be careful about the way you communicate online. They say that close to 40% of our communication now is done online. That's pretty staggering. That, you know, spouses will speak all day via text and then come home and there's no conversation. So we need to be careful that we don't spend too much time doing that. They also say another piece of etiquette is, like, if someone texts you or email you, you know, we know we're all busy and that kind of thing, but that you shouldn't necessarily delay your response, because people get, you know, take offense that
mm-hmm.
if you don't email them back. And that's the other thing. People feel you're on their time. And that, again, you know, you can see it from both ends of the spectrum. You know, you text me right now if I'm in the middle of seeing a client or doing something else that's important to me. No, I can't get back to you right away, but
mm-hmm.
I'll get back to you when I'm available and I have free time, and maybe I have a time that I check text messages or whatever. A lot of people take that as, you know, if you don't reach back right away, somehow you're ignoring them. And again, it goes back to their own emotional deficiencies, and so they've seen this as a way that I can get people to respond to me relatively quickly. And really try to, instead of being so emotionally invisible, try to make yourself emotionally visible, invisible in your real life, invisible in your relationships at work, you know, in your everyday activities, because you can really sink into a deeper and darker side of your life if you spend too much time on social media sites and on the internet, and even surfing the internet about things that just don't have any relevancy to the quality of your life.
Okay, great. So these are some codes of conduct that we should consider when we are embracing social media as a part of our lives, because it is a part of our lives, and it's not going to change. It's just going to become even more inclusive because they're advancing everything every day. Every day there's something new coming up that's going to enable you to have on the second axis, not even on the minute, but on the second axis. And being that you are communicating with so many more people at one given time, just like you said, the senator who lost everything, Tiger Woods lost everything behind texting and stuff like that. The baseball player, I believe, supposedly he sent an inappropriate text to a cheerleader. Once mm-hmm. again, all of these things are out there. And also, please know that just because you sent a text and you deleted it from your phone, it still exists.
Yeah. Text is an interesting thing about text. Unlike email can probably be around somewhere forever. According to all the research that I've done, it seems like text can stay around. Maybe it depends on who subpoenaed it, where it went. If someone saves it somewhere, like in some kind of folder, mm-hmm. but if it's just saved as a text and deleted, pretty much it's out of the server of your provider within, mm-hmm. they say, within 10 to 15 days.
Okay.
So texts are usually deleted from their server because it's just billions of them. So they just don't have the capacity to hold texts. You know, one person can text like 20,000 texts, you know,
mm-hmm.
a month. So they don't hold texts that long. There is some possibility if there was some kind of subpoena that, you know, on some high-level crime of some sort, they could potentially go back. Where you really find the problem is in things like emails,
mm-hmm.
because they're always stored somewhere.
Okay.
You delete them from your account and they're stored on a server of
yeah.
say, AOL server. So you can subpoena AOL or you can subpoena Gmail and it's saved, it's stored on their server.
Okay.
But your actual account, it is actually deleted from your account, but you're right, it's stored probably forever in their on their server.
Okay, well,
doesn't mean anyone should be out there doing anything. You're not suggesting people should be out there texting their love stories versus, you know, emailing them for security and safety. But just giving you a little, you know, don't try to be too seedy through the text. But just, you know, we're just saying, you know, don't be too spooked either. It's not that serious, particularly if you haven't done anything that warrants someone going that deep into your life.
Okay. Well, we're coming close to our time being over, but I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you so much for joining us and sharing all this valuable information. Once again, you have provided my listeners with some things that can be really beneficial and helpful in how they interact in their lives. And I think that's what, you know, this whole process of the object of the exercise of our lives is finding ways to be better and do better. And you have provided that opportunity for us. And I thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I would like for you to tell people how they can contact you if they need to contact you for whatever reason it is in regards to what you do.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, I'm a mental health professional, a clinical social worker, and I have a private practice, and I do all sorts of everything related to health and wellness, particularly that's dealing with the mind and the body and the emotional health. You can reach me at, speaking of social media, and I adore it for this reason, Dr. Elisa English, Facebook, and Dr. Elisa English, Twitter, and ask Dr. Elisa at askdrelisa.com. That's Elisa at askdrelisa.com. You can always send me an email there, or you can go to AskDrLisa.com and just Google me, read some of, you know, some of what I've done in the past, and certainly try to keep your mind healthy, your body right, your soul, you know, intact, and you know, you can probably get through all of this.
Okay, that is great. Thank you once again, and I hope that we have the opportunity to have you back on the show again, because you are just a value to my listeners, as well as what you do to help your clients as well. And once again, I want to thank you.
Oh, I thank you for having me again. Really,
yes.
I really appreciate you.
Yes, and I would also like to do a show on some mental health issues that I've been kind of coming across in my travels lately. So I would love to be able to discuss that with you at a later date.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Anything for you.
Thank you so much.
Look at that. See, I got you, right.
You know,
I didn't even put a smiley face on it. I just said it, and I made your heart warm. Okay.
Thank
good.
You.
I'll speak to you soon.
Okay, have a great
love
one.
Love you much. Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's our show for today, and we want to thank you for joining us. And please join us. I believe Saturday I will still be doing the Harmful Beauty segment that I'm working on, and I will provide you with some more names on the list. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and be safe. Thank you. Goodbye.